welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, again, good morning. We're going to go ahead and get started here in a proverb. This is Proverb chapter 3. This is a New King James version of it. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." This is a great passage of Scripture. This is a real wonderful go-to to help keep us centered and focused. But I love, you know, how it says to trust the Lord with all your heart, and that word, lean not on your own understanding. There's not a problem as you're dealing with stuff to have an understanding, but the Scripture just admonishes us, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't put the pressure on your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Here's the same passage. This is the New Living. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil." You know, we need to be told this, don't we? Yeah. As human beings. Yeah. We just instinctively lean upon our own understanding. And if we weren't believers, that's all we would have, and that's what we would do. But we are believers, and we do have God in our life. And so that's where this makes all the difference in the world. And I've been at this inflection point many times, where I've known what the Scripture says, to lean not, to depend not on your own understanding, but trust him, seek him, look to him. And this can sometimes be almost a nagging inflection point for those of you know who are believers, who've walked with the Lord, and we're thinking about something, and we're thinking about it, and we're thinking, and we can't figure it out, and you begin to think, and you can begin to overthink. You know, to where all of a sudden you're like, you feel like you're stuck in your own head. You're thinking and thinking and thinking, and there's just no answer as you're thinking and thinking and thinking. And we know what the Scripture says. It says, trust in the Lord. Don't depend on your own understanding. But I want to address, as we walk out the Scripture, I want to address that inflection point. When you're trying to acknowledge him, but it seems like you're stuck in your own head. All right? You know better. You're a believer, okay? But you're still stuck. So that's kind of the premise of the message today is getting out of your head. Getting out of your head. Because there are things, when you look at that little colorful blob up there, that can represent, I mean, you can kind of fill in that blank. You know? That could be fear that locks us in our own head. It could be anger, could be hurt, be a brokenheartedness. It could be just, I don't know what to do next. I got these choices and I don't know what to do next. You know, that can represent a lot of different things. But the thing that all those things have in common is they can get us stuck in our head. We find ourselves thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. And as believers, again, we've got an amazing ability that people who don't know God can't do this. They're just kind of stuck with what they can see, do, see, observe, but we're not. We have something else to help get us out of our head. So again, this morning, getting out of your head. The first thing to get out of your head is getting into the Word. If you're going to get out of your head, one of the great ways to get out of your head is get into the Word. And I mean When I say get into the Word, I'm talking about it in a concrete way, all right? The Scripture says this, "For the Word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Amplified says, "Exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart." The Word of God has the ability to do that. Our own understanding doesn't have the ability to do that. The Word of God gives us the ability to step outside and objectively see, organize our own wisdom and be able to tell what's spirit, what's flesh. The Word of God has the power to do that. I don't have that ability within myself to do that. And as I'm kind of in that place, in that stuck place, and I'm kind of wondering, because a lot of times you're stuck and you don't always realize you're stuck. You're just kind of there. And then it's like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I could pray. Or, oh yeah, that's right. God, there's things that you kind of get stuck in where you're just kind of, you get used to, you kind of get used to repeating that same thing over and over and over again. As a programmer, that's kind of my other ability that I have is programming, computers, whatnot. So developing, that was kind of the first thing I did since eighth grade. I just loved programming and whatnot. So software development, things like that. When you would run the software on a computer, we're talking about the software of your mind right now, but the software on a computer, when you write a program that's wrong, that's errant, that's bad, sometimes what'll happen is it'll get caught in a loop. And it'll just keep repeating the same thing over and over, and it'll hang. It'll get stuck, you know? And as a programmer, I mean, you can even just know this as a user. Sometimes you're working away, and your computer freezes up, and you don't know why, you know? And there are times when we get in that place of stuck where we have to be able to hit the brake key. We got to stop it, all right? We want to figure it out. We want to problem solve it. But there's times when you've just literally got to hit break. Let me put it this way. It's a form of intellectually surrendering and saying, I need help here. This isn't working. And again, you can keep running with that program and trying to make it work. You want to keep running it until it works. What was it? Einstein said you repeat the same thing over and over, thinking different results. That's insanity. That's kind of that definition. Well, that's kind of the way we can be in our head when we're stuck in our head and we're trying to get different results. At some point, we got to hit the brake key. And that brake key is going to be the Word of God. And this is such a beautiful thing because there's something about just stopping, to just stop beating your head against that wall and just say, I'm going to change the subject here to the Word of God. Because the Word of it's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. When you're in your head, you're problem-solving that situation. It could be financial, it could be relational, and so you're figuring out stuff to fix that problem. To all of a sudden just switch over and to begin to think about the Word of God, which is not directly related to my issue or my problem, that is humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. That's how you humble yourself. See, I don't know, even reading the Scripture, does that solve a specific relationship issue financially? No, I'm just getting the Word of God. It's living. It's powerful. I'm letting that Word get on the inside of me. I'm going to meditate on that Word. Because as that Word does, what does it do in verse? It exposes, sift, analyzes, and judges my thoughts. In other words, I'm submitting my program to God, the ultimate programmer, and saying, here's my thoughts. Here's my stuff. What's wrong here? I need help. I need help. If you're going to get out of your head, there's a getting in to the Word. That is abrupt. Just like hitting that brake key. I'm not waiting. I'm breaking it. And that's the way it is. That's when you get out of your head, there's a breaking. I'm breaking and going into the Word of God here. I'm breaking. This is not inspirational. You never want to have to, as a developer, a programmer, you don't want to have to break your program because it's broken. There's a humility, there's a breaking, says, okay, God, here we go. I'm going for you. I'm going after your Word, what you want me to do. Sometimes, too, as you're hitting that brake key, you need to stop and take inventory of what's in your head sometimes. Because think of your mind, especially when you're feeling stuck, think of your mind. If you could put a label on your head that is similar to the ingredients label that you would see on a pizza or a candy bar or something like that, and say, what are the ingredients in my head right now? There's some anger, there's some fear, there's some confusion, is the Word of God there? Is there trust there? Is there faith there? You begin to realize that, you know, in my mind, I've got to break and I've got to get the Word of God in my mind. I've got to begin to think along the lines of the Word of God, because ultimately, that's what's going to get you out of your head. You want to get out of your head, I know, to get the answer. But the amazing thing about getting out of your head is you're not getting out of your head right away to get the answer. You're getting out of your head to just stop the loop, to stop the confusion, to focus on something that you know is true, something that you know is right. And there's another scripture kind of, I think, in tandem with this, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Whatever your loop is, whatever the program is, whatever the thing that's got you stuck in your head, we know something about all that with all of us. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We're talking about getting out of your head. There's a way of escape. New Living says the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so you can endure. When we're thinking of the Word of God as a way to get out of our head, think of it also kind of like, think of it as a way of escape. Remember, as kids, we would have to do even as adults from time to time, we have to do fire drills, tornado drills, different things like that in school and classes. And they would say, you know, all of us would have to line up and we'd see the little line and where we're supposed to go when that alarm goes off. And we would do that. We'd have to go to the parking lot. We'd go to that spot in that area. And, you know, so you'd hear that alarm go off and immediately you're thinking, okay, what is our deal? And you're kind of doing this when you're not actually having a fire, when you're not doing a tornado. And why is that? Because when that alarm goes off, like we said last week in the safe place, you're not really thinking straight. You need to be able to have a way of escape. You have a plan. You have a pathway out. And what I'm talking about here is we're talking about getting out of your head. There is a plan. There is a path. There is a narrative. You see, when you're in your head, a lot of times there's a narrative going on. There is something. It could be a relationship narrative. Somebody did something that reminds you of this. It brings you back to that. And you're kind of stuck and stirs things up. It could be something like that. It could be a worry. It could be a fear. But there's, that could be a financial thing. What am I going to do here? But there's a narrative that it's almost like an old record that keeps playing in a jukebox. You don't want that record to play, but it's playing. And so what happens is you're changing on purpose. You're hitting a break key and you're switching the narrative. And this is something we can do right now. You can build your escape, plan of escape. You can build it with specific scriptures. There are specific scriptures that I go to when I'm stuck in my head. One of them is Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. That word of God. Psalm 23 is another great one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Begin to speak and declare that scripture. What am I doing? I'm in a concrete way, I'm changing the narrative that was sticking me in my head to the narrative of God's word. Because God has a narrative. And let me tell you this, it's specific. And this is where it's a powerful thing. When you can get that specific, and this is where you have promises, great and precious promises. You can look promises up that can relate to the issues that you're going through, but have some real specific scriptures, and you know those scriptures that speak to your heart. You know the scriptures that are just like precious to you. It's almost like God wrote them just for you because they have such a wonderful connection. Those are the ones. Those are the ones for you. Those are the ones when you're stuck in your head, go to those. It'll change the subject back to the Word of God. And when you get on the Word of God, that Word of God begins to do things in your heart. It begins to change the subject to to where all of a sudden, you know, that thing isn't the most important thing anymore. I'm getting in the Word of God, and this is God's Word. It's His truth, and that Word has power. And so what it does is it kind of sets you up. It sets you up, getting those specific scriptures, specific words. It's like I say, it's like a big break key in the program that's going on here to get you off mentally what you were thinking about onto the Word of God, okay? And that really sets you up for something even bigger, something very special. Because you know why you're a Christian today? You know why you're here today? You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You experienced His love. You experienced His forgiveness. You experienced a relationship with God. And ultimately, the Word of God, we know we've been kind of going over this the last few weeks, the Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. His Word is the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When we reverence that Word, we're reverencing and honoring Jesus. And so as we're getting into the Word, there's another thing that happens too. We go from getting into the Word to getting into the Spirit. And I almost like to think getting in the Word is a setup. It's a setup for the good stuff that God wants to do, but you got to start somewhere. You start with that Word of God. Have some scriptures and say, okay, Lord, here I am. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. You know, you haven't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I thank you, Lord, that you love me and you gave yourself for me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. That's all I know. You know, when you're stuck in your head, you come over here and say, that's all I know. Can't separate me from the love of God that's in Christ. I know that. I know that's right. What are you doing? You're just kind of getting yourself tuned into truth, tuned into what is true, tuned into what you know is true for sure. Okay? But there has to be a faith break to where you're going to that Word of God. As you do that, there's a getting into the Spirit. Jesus said, and see, he was correcting one of the churches in Revelation. He said, I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifferences. In other words, you could say, I correct the programs and the software of everyone I love. So be diligent to turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door. I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Okay? Now, this is talking about Jesus. Now, this is Jesus actually talking to the churches right here. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door. And like what we've been saying, Jesus is the Word of God. That Word of God is knocking on your heart. As you go into the Word of God, there is going to be a place where as you begin to speak the Word of God, declare the Word of God, that you are going to begin to sense the presence of God. But not only that, as you begin to get serious and you just get into the Word of God, you hear what the Word of God says and you talk back to the Word of God. Say, Lord, how does that work? What does that look like in real life? How do I do that? That's amazing. I know it's true. I know it's your word, but help me to do that. Help me to see that. What are you doing? You're talking. You're fellowshipping. You're having a meal together with the Word of God. You're experiencing fellowship with His word. You're experiencing fellowship with His person. I remember just having a vision of this once as I was just walking along and seeing that. The Lord just quickened that scripture. I stand before the Lord, the door, and knock. And I could just see in my mind's eye Jesus knocking on the door and then just me letting Him in and having a fellowship, a meal with Him. Just breaking bread. There is something about getting in the Word of God, again, fellowshipping with the Word of God, that fear goes. Because all of a sudden, when you're in your head, everything's orientated around this thing. When you get in the Word, now everything's orientated around God, in His Word, and what He says. So everything, your center changes in the Word of God. This is something we can all do. This is how we lean not to our own understanding. We come over to God's Word. We come over to His understanding. And as I remember, I was just kind of walking along one day, and I just remember seeing in my mind's eye, again, just me inviting the Lord into that room and us hanging out and just experiencing that joy of fellowship in the Word of God. I still didn't have that solved. I didn't care about that being solved. All I knew is I'm fellowshipping with God in His Word. And there's nothing like that, all right? And all of a sudden, as I'm fellowshipping with Him in His Word, all of a sudden I hear another knock at the door. Well, actually what had happened, I was fellowshipping with him, and while I was fellowshipping with him, it was like my fellowship was being interrupted by that blob thoughts, you know? The blob thoughts were trying to get access. And I was just thinking, wow, I'm just having this sweet fellowship, and all of a sudden I'm hearing this. And that registered as another knock on the door in my what I was seeing. And I remember Jesus just, he just kind of looked at me. He didn't say a word, but he looked at me like, are you going to get that? When you're going from that blob to that fellowship and that sweet place, there is going to be a fight. There is going to be, in other words, just because you're not leaning to your own understanding, but you're acknowledging him, your understanding is now knocking on the door and wants to get access. I want to say this just to manage expectations as we do this in real life. As you're going before the Lord, you're going to experience some things. You may have heard of the concept of detoxing, okay? Maybe you can go on a diet or something that gets all the toxins out of your body, different things like that. I remember experiencing this when I'd get off caffeine sometimes, you know, that day one, I'd be like, oh, I'm kind of tired. It's not really that big of a deal. I can do this. Day two, oh, I kind of got it. I knew the headache was coming. Okay, here it is. And there's some body aches, you know. But then by day three, it's like, I definitely have a brain tumor and must get brain scan immediately. And it's like, oh yeah, that's right, I was going off caffeine. I wonder if that might have anything to do with it. That stuff happens in the natural, and that stuff happens spiritually too. When you're detoxing from toxic thoughts, there's a detoxing that'll go on here as well too, as you get in the spirit. And so you can't be surprised by that. You can't say, oh, how could I have that bitter thought? I thought I forgave. You're detoxing. Stay in the presence of God. Stay in that table. Don't get up from that table. You don't have to answer that door. Because your understanding doesn't like you at that table. There is such a control and a possession that that blob has, can have over our life. You know? It doesn't like you talking to Jesus about it. It doesn't like being talked about. But it's amazing how the enemy is what the scripture says he is. He's a thief. Steal, kills, destroy. He tries to break in. He'll just put something in front of your eyes and just get you off and get you off track and get you up from that table. But there's a getting into the spirit that happens as you stay at that table. And as you get into the spirit, that doesn't look the same anymore. That's not nearly as intimidating as it was when you're in it. When you get away from it, you break, hit the brake key, get onto the Word of God, and just begin to fellowship with that Word of God until it stirs up the Spirit of God in you. And it's like, okay, all right, I'm seeing things differently. Because when you're over here, it's like, yeah, I know the scripture, I know that. Yeah, but something about this makes itself bigger than the word. What does the scripture say? Everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. And when you're stuck here, that's what a lot of this stuff is doing. Yeah, but your situation, but there's some, I know the Bible says, but you're, when you get over here, you realize, oh, that is common to man. It really is common to man. Everything I'm going through really is. It looks different in the spirit. But to get out of your head, you got to hit that brake key. You got to be willing to fellowship with Jesus and be able to say, okay, Lord, you can come on in. We're going to fellowship. We're going to talk. And yeah, I'm going to hear some sounds. I'm going to hear that. Because I'll tell you what, by day four, when I'm going through that, this is almost like a tunnel, you know, you got to walk through when you're getting off that. By day four, yeah, I still have some things. I might even still have some body aches and things like that. You know, I might cheat a little bit, take an ibuprofen to take some of the body aches away and things like that as I'm coming through and coming off some things like that. But I'll tell you what, God has pain relief for you too when you're coming off stuff. God has pain relief for you too when you're detoxing from that stuff, because there is a cleansing, there's a purifying and a cleaning, and your spirit gets right and whole and your mind begins to get clear. It's like you're coming out from under the influence of something and it's like, I'm me again, you know? It's like, this is who I am. This is the real me. The real me hand in hand with Jesus. I know this guy, you know, where you're walking with him. And so what the scripture says, you know, look, I stand at the door, hear my voice. I will come in, we'll share a meal together as friends. I love that. There's a hanging out. There's a sweet, casual, first love that you experience with Jesus, and you realize, man, he really does love me. Because if you're going to do that, you got to let your guard down. If you're going to hang out and talk shop about that, you got to let your guard down and begin to, just by faith, begin to talk and just listen. That's the other great thing, is you listen. And here's some things, too, I just wanted to bring out in the context of this. In the same way, when you hit the break key and you have specific scriptures, it's important to know that as New Testament believers, we also have some specific prayers that we can pray too when we get in the sweet spot with the Lord and we're fellowshipping, or even as we're praying to get there. Ephesians 3, it says, Paul prayed that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's something we can personalize and pray for ourselves. Father, grant me, according to the riches of your grace, grant me to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in my inner man. Lord, I want you to dwell in my heart by faith. I want to be rooted and grounded in your love. Help me to comprehend that width, length, depth, height. I want to know the love of Christ that passes my knowledge, that passes that knowledge. And that's one of the cool things that you find here too. When you get in here and you're just fellowshipping with God, it's like, man, he does love me. We are connected. He is still talking to me. He is still for me. He is still with me. These are the things that begin to happen. But here's where we can pray specific prayers. Because when you're dealing with that stuff, it takes spiritual strength to resist. There's a spiritual strength. And the reason why you can have strength is because you pray for it. You ever wonder why the Apostle Paul was so bold? It's like, man, who is this guy? Man, persecutions and afflictions await me, but none of these things move me. I don't even count my life dear to myself that I can finish my course with joy. How can you have that kind of boldness? You know why? Because he prayed that people would pray for him to have that kind of boldness. He said, pray for me, that I'd open my mouth and speak boldly as I ought to speak. Pray for me. You can pray on purpose for these things, just as sure as we can on purpose go to the scriptures and look at specific scriptures that bless us. We can pray specific prayers. This is another form of humbling yourself and saying, I don't have the strength, Lord. I need your strength. Strengthen me with might. And again, one of the great things that happens in that place of fellowship is love. There's just a return to the love of God. The love of God. And there's something about that too. When you return to the love of God, he shows you that everything you do, because when you get in these places, everything you do is connected to the love of God. Everything. Are you putting your flesh under? Are you renewing your mind? Why? Because you love God and you want to serve him. You're going to reach out. You're going to forgive people because you love God. Love is the common denominator for anything God calls us to do. And when we get back into these places, we see that love. We see that love connection. Even though we're dying from some things, you know, the Apostle Paul said, we crucify the flesh with its affections and lusts. Do you know your flesh has affections? Your flesh has lusts and affections. You're putting those cries back. You're saying, no, that's not God. This is God. This is Jesus. Lord, I'm following after you. I'm doing what you want me to do. But there's a cry. I need strength to do that. It's not because I'm so strong and I'm above that. No, I need the power of God. I need the strength of God. Lord, strengthen me with might. Strengthen me. Help me. And here's another prayer that we can pray. These are two prayers, the Ephesian prayer, the Colossian prayer. And just as a reminder, too, all of these sermon templates are online. You can always get them. You can download them. We got the PDFs of all this. So if you miss something or want to go back, you can always go on the website, download the PDF and see all these scriptures. So Colossians 1:9 says this, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Catch this, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. How can I be patient? How can I count it all joy when I fall in it? I can pray that he will strengthen me with might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. I can pray for the strength of that patience, the strength that to suffer long and be kind. I can't do it. I can only suffer long and be kind for so long, but I can pray for the strength of the Spirit and suffer longer and be kinder than I can without that strengthening with His Spirit. And so that's where I'm being specific about getting in the Spirit. It's not by might. It's not by power. Living this life isn't by might or by power. Living this life is by the Spirit of God. If you're going to get out of this muck and get out of your head, it's going to be by the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God. We need to say, help. You know, again, when you're hitting that brake key, it's a humbling thing because, again, we get used to this. We get used to this. Even if it's not comfortable, even if it's frustrating, even if it's confusing, we'll stay here because it's familiar. It takes faith to step over here and say, okay, break. Here we go, Lord. What am I doing? I'm acknowledging Him in all my ways. That's all I'm doing. I'm just acknowledging Him. And it doesn't have to be pretty flowery. It's a break that I'm just going to that scripture. Go to a few scriptures. You know, and He's going to lead you. He's going to lead you back to that place of fellowship, that place where you're walking with Him, fellowshipping with His Word, but it ultimately comes full circle back. And basically, this is the New Testament version of Proverbs 3, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So it's a beautiful follow-through for praying. But this is where, again, you've got the specific prayers, you know, that we can pray in general. God, I need your strength. I want to be strengthened in a way that just gives me that big picture of your love. Help me to see this in the broader context. Help me see my blob in the broader context of your love, your grace, your strength. Help me to see the big picture and that you are with me, that you are for me. I want to be strengthened with might by your Spirit, my inner man. And again, I'm praying that I'll know the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I'll get it, but that I'll be strengthened with might, that I'll have the spiritual strength that I need to do. It's amazing. There's been times when I think, man, I just feel strong in the Lord. And I remember, oh yeah, I prayed. I prayed for strength of spirit. And God just answered my prayer. You know, He knows what you have need of. You have not because you ask not. There's a place where we need to just be deliberate in asking, God, I need you. I need your strength right now. But it all culminates in this, those specific prayers to this specific. Now, verse 6 is specific too, but it's specific about your stuff, that stuff. This is where you're addressing that stuff on purpose before God. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And when it's, depending on what it is, the nature of what it is, it can sometimes be easier or harder to communicate that. Sometimes you might even just say, Lord, help me to know how to pray about that thing. I don't even know how to pray about it specifically. I need your help. I need wisdom. Show me. But here's what I know, and I just want to communicate that to you. But I also realize that I'm a human being, and there can be prejudice, there could be bias, there could be fear, there could be blind spots in me, and I humble myself and show me, Lord, if there's anything that I need to see. If there's anything that I'm not seeing that I need to see, show me. I want my heart to be clear before you. What is this? This is all humbling yourself. We're talking about it in terms of getting into the Word, getting the Spirit, but your heart is humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, and that's exactly how Peter puts it. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And so there's a work of humility that gets you out of from here over to here. I like to sometimes use the analogy of our kids would bring them home from school, the little finger traps. You know, you put your finger in one end and the other end and you pull them apart. You just can't, you know, you just literally have to try to rip them apart to get your fingers out of them because it's a trap. But you realize, though, that the trick of it is if you just put your fingers together very gently and then just turn one and then just very gently move them apart, your fingers just come apart, just like that. You know. And a lot of times what God is trying to get us to do, because we're kind of finger trapping here trying to figure stuff out, and God's just wanting us to humble our hearts, you know, just kind of turn things over to Him and his peace that passes our understanding. And then we get free from the trap there, get free from that trap. But there is a humbling of yourself that goes hand in hand with this. And it's okay to realize that that's going on in your own heart while it's going on. Lord, I need you. I need your word. I don't have the answer. I need your help and I need your strength. And I want you to show me what to do here. But you see that supernatural thing that happens in verse 7. The peace that passes your understanding keeps your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The cool thing about this is that I don't have to solve that to have peace. A peace that passes my understanding is a peace that passes the answer to those questions. While I'm over here, understanding is my deliverer. If I can just understand, I'll be free. If I can solve it, I'm free. I'm looking for understanding to save me. You come over here with God, and it's a peace that passes your understanding. When you're over here, the peace is your deliverer. The peace is why I'm free. The peace is why I have joy. Because I have him and he's with me. That's my deliverer. His peace is my deliverer. I'm free now. Even without the answer to that, I'm free and I'm happy. And there's a joy in the Lord. I'm not just strengthened for patience and long suffering. I'm strengthened with joy. There's a joy of the Lord. While that still is unresolved, technically. But my deliverance is the peace. That's what I'm resting in. And so as I'm getting out of my head, I'm getting into his word, I'm getting into his spirit, I'm getting into his peace. I'm getting into those things. And it's amazing when you begin to experience that substance of the spirit working on your mind and you get the witness of the spirit of God just bearing witness that things are true. Like if I said, you know, is Jesus Christ Lord? There's a witness that says, yes, he is Lord. That same strong witness in the privacy of your own little prayer time, when you begin to read and God is for you, and that same word says, yes, he is for you, Ed. He's for you, each one of you. You sense personally that witness of the Spirit. There's a joy. There's a peace. There's a strength. That's unresolved. But I'm fixed in his, I'm guarding his, my heart and mind is guarded with his peace. And that's cool. Because as long as I got that, that's just a matter of time. See, in the game, you know, if your football team's winning at the end of the game and you got the ball and there's only 30 seconds left, what do they call it, the victory position? You just take a knee. You just run out the clock because it's just a matter of time. When you're in a place where the Spirit of God and the peace of God is guarding your heart and mind in Christ Jesus and you're sitting at that table and you're fellowshipping with him, it's just a matter of time. There's nothing. He that is in you is greater than that. He that is in the world. He that is sitting at the table with you is greater than that. It's a matter of time. And the cool thing about it is you get to know God better. You get to know Jesus better while you're sitting at that table. Praise God. And he's the main thing. That's no longer the main thing. The main thing is the main thing. I will love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. That's the main thing. Praise God. And in the meantime, again, this is verse 8 is kind of your ibuprofen. While the body aches and the headaches are subsiding, some pain relief, but he gives you permission while his peace is keeping you, he gives you permission to think on things that are true and honest and just. You don't have to go back to where you started and start problem solving all over again. You're going to keep your place, and as you prayed, what are you doing? You're just getting your place, your heart and mind in a position where you can hear what God is saying, because Jesus promised. He said that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's going to guide you into all truth. So there's a getting into the Word, there's a getting into the Spirit that happens as you get out of your head. You're not just getting out of your head, you're going to somewhere. You're going to, this is the same thing with repentance. If you're just trying to repent from that thing you shouldn't be doing, you're not doing it right. You've got to repent to the Lord. You've got to repent to the Spirit. The promise is, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Not just repent from the flesh. I mean, that can be, you know, mixed bag. You can only, if you're doing it in your own strength, it's the power of the Spirit. It's the law of the Spirit of life that makes me free from the law of sin and death. Not my self-discipline. It's the law of the Spirit of life. So I got to repent to the Spirit to make me free. And that's exactly the same principle here. If I'm going to get out of my head, I got to get into the Word. I got to get into the Spirit. I got to let God just have that place. And the cool thing about this is just getting back in fellowship with God again. That's the big win. Once you got that, you got everything. You just sense you're back on track again spiritually, fellowshipping with God. He's there, and I know he's there, and he loves me. Yeah, there's going to be some knocks at the door, but I'm going to stay at that table. And if I do get up and answer the door, I can praise God, get back to that table again. There's mercy and grace. And he hasn't given up on me at all. But I know that, praise God, I don't have to knock. I don't have to answer that knock at the door. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just the presence of your Spirit in this place this morning, and just for you, Holy Spirit, how you're teaching, how you're making this real. Lord, our desire is to just be in fellowship with you. Oh, Jesus, we're so thankful that you paid that price so that we could have what we lost in the garden, the ability for the Heavenly Father to come down in the cool of the day, and we don't have to run. We don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to do anything but just walk with you, Lord, and enjoy your presence and experience your love, experience your words. Oh, Father, I just pray for each one of us this morning. Anything that we're struggling with, anything that's sticking us in our head, Lord, that we just begin to take those steps. Take those steps toward your word, toward your Spirit. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith. If your heart can agree, say, Dear Heavenly Father, you see everything. You know everything. My stuff doesn't scare you. My stuff really is common to man. Help me to take that step, to hit that brake key, to humble myself intellectually to the most amazing intellectual person ever. You, I need your help. Show me what to do next. Show me how to get free. Show me where to look. Jesus, I need you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to eat that meal. I want to talk with you about my life. And I want to listen to what you're going to say. Because you correct. You fix every bad program. Because you love us. Help us to trust you. To know that you know what we need to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. The Lord loves you. He's with you. He's for you. And there's just going to be these sweet places that you walk with him, hand in hand. And the wonderful thing, you know, again, it's not about solving the thing or the blob. The most wonderful thing is just getting out from the weight of it. And just it not being the center of your life. Because that thing will speak to you when you get up in the morning. It'll speak to you when you go to bed at night. And there's nothing like getting up to the morning and hearing God speaking to you. And going to bed at night and hearing the Word of God speaking to you. That's everything. Just getting free, getting out of that mess. And again, just getting to know God. It's just, there's nothing like it. He really does love you. He really is for you. Praise God.